Hey everyone, I'm Jennifer Vine, President and CEO of the Education Foundation of Sarasota County and your host for Education Conversations, where we share ideas on education today and ways to help prepare students to thrive. Before we get started, I want to make sure to thank Gulf Coast Community Foundation for sponsoring this episode and for all the great work Gulf Coast does in our community. They are a fantastic foundation. You know, so often we talk about students as our top priority, and we're very proud of that. But today we really want to kind of flip the conversation and talk to you about conversations of empowering teachers to thrive, because we certainly know they are the direct linkage to correlating to student success. And so we want to learn a little bit more about their perspective. You know, in any profession, we all strive to stay current and informed, and it's no different with teachers. And we've talked in previous podcasts about how quickly education's evolving. So how do we as educators keep ourselves not only up to date and knowledgeable, but also engaged in the subjects we teach? And so today, I'm excited to have a special guest with us, and it's someone that actually works with the Education Foundation. She just joined us recently, so it's certainly a privilege for us to have her on our team, and that's Nicole Light. And I've known Nicole for, gosh, several years now. I mean, because it's gone back a little ways, but she has a lot of depth and breadth in her education experience, as she has taught high school English in this community for, gosh, 20 years. Nicole. Yeah. And you, in fact, were even recognized as the Literacy Teacher of the Year at Pineview in 2018.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank you. Anyways,
I'm excited that she's here today. She is serving as our Director of Educator Program. So, Nicole, welcome to Education Conversations.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. I'm very excited to chat with you. Very excited for the position and the opportunity. So it's great to be able to chat.
Yeah. And it's going to be great to also see how we can help further teachers
Absolutely.
In the work. So you've got
Absolutely.
Some meaningful work ahead of you, and you're exactly the right person for the task. So
Thanks.
Let's just start off a little bit with, you know, it's always good to know the backstory of kind of the circuitous mm-hmm. journey people take in a career path. And
yes.
I know you've kind of had that.
Yes.
So can you kind of illuminate with us maybe the high points
sure.
of where you started and what brought you here today?
Sure, absolutely. Yes, true. I think the circuitous route is spot on in terms of describing my journey to become an educator and then the role that I'm in right now. I actually, in the back of my mind, always wanted to be a teacher. But when I left college, I was in a lot of corporate roles. I worked in publishing, and for a long time I worked in IT, if you could believe it. I was a consultant and traveling around the United States. And what I found myself doing all the time was I was always finding myself in the role of teacher or trainer. So I was, you know, maybe writing technical manuals, or I was getting a group of employees together and guiding them through something. And it just struck me that that's where I needed to be. That had to be something that really needed to be the center of my life instead of a portion of my life. And I had a true aha moment. I had a real realization. A light went off. It was a calling moment, if you will. I was sitting on a project at a client up in Philadelphia. I was sitting at my desk and I just said, it's time. I was working on a technical training manual and I said, it's just time. It's time for me to be a teacher. And I got up from my desk and I went and talked to my boss, and she said, I was kind of waiting for you to tell me this.
No surprise.
She knew that that's something that was a passion. And 3 months later, I enrolled at the University of South Florida, go Bulls, to get my master's in English education. And then I was a teacher that fall. That fall, I was an English teacher at Southeast High School. That's where I started my teaching career.
So you actually consider yourself a career changer then?
Yes.
Because you weren't in college for education.
No.
What do you think really sparked that inner kind of, I don't know, inner calling? You know, what was the connection that came alive for you?
I think for me, what I see teaching, and I think this is something that I recognized in my fellow teacher colleagues, is just a desire to help people kind of get from one point to another in their understanding or their skill building, their knowledge, increase their knowledge level. And it's not just helping people and serving. That's part of it. I think it's a desire to serve others. But it's really saying, I think I can find strategies to help you understand something better. And that was really what I ended up doing most in my work. And I found that, again, that's really what I wanted to be the center of my work. So I think that's really what ended up being kind of the calling, this realization that teaching is all about guiding our students, whether it's through difficult times in their lives, but more often it's through content that they might be struggling with or a skill that they might need to overcome. And it's a challenge that's really exciting. And I think that's what drove me as well. That's really called great. To me.
It's interesting you speak to it as a calling, which I agree, and we hear that often. I would also contend that it's a gift to be able to bring someone from understanding knowledge of something they did not realize to where they do. I mean, that's a gift. And so just kudos to all the teachers, any teacher
Absolutely.
Out there for what they do.
Yeah, I agree.
So curiously to know, with the time that you've spent teaching, you know, certainly you have seen a lot of the changes and challenges. What have you seen specifically like in students over the years? How have they changed?
I would say truly, I think kids have always been kids, And that's sort of lovely and sort of, I think for most teachers, that's probably in the center of what keeps them motivated is knowing that kids will always have very similar or the same needs. But what I have seen is an increase, marked, like very noticeable increase in anxiety and sort of outward manifestations of that. It's very sad to see when students struggle to even just show up to class or get through a class because they're struggling so much with internal worries, fears, doubts. I've truly, as I said, I've sort of prided myself on someone that dedicates time to thinking through how can I help someone understand something, get through a skill, get through a challenge. So when you realize that the challenge is just, it's actually beyond you. That's what I think I'm seeing. And I kind of hear a lot of my teacher friends say the same thing, that the level of anxiety is at a place where it's difficult to figure out exactly what it is. You know, people point to social media or maybe, you know, post-pandemic leftover feelings, but that anxiety is tough. And I think there's also a fair amount of apathy, which is also an interesting phenomenon that I've seen more in students where, you know, I taught for many years at a high performing school here in our district, and we traditionally have high attendance rates. And of course we have high graduation rates and completion going on to post-secondary options. And it's not that kids aren't graduating, but I think it's more attendance that's really interesting to see has dropped a lot. And as well as just not really having as much of a problem with not doing assignments, just saying, I'm not going to do it. I don't care. I'd never really heard that refrain often in my teaching career.
Do you have any thoughts of the cause of that apathy?
I can guess. I could guess that perhaps it's a sense of feeling like, I know that there's a lot of students that sort of look at their future and they sort of only can imagine they're going to be part of this giant capitalist machine. You know, they're going to be a cog in the wheel someday. And there's a sense of, what's the point in that? I'd rather go and live experiences. You know, what's the point of me doing this? Where am I going to go with that? That, I think, is part of it. And I think that the pandemic and probably somewhat some of the political climate that's been swirling around, kids are so much more exposed to news cycles, but like also little tidbits of news. So a little TikTok that goes over, you know, something that's happening in another country or, you know, a conflict. And I think it just washes over them and it becomes maybe a little bit too much. So the thought of, you know, sitting in my class, you know, did you read this chapter of The Great Gatsby, becomes completely nonsensically irrelevant to them.
Mm. That's actually really good insights from a high school English teacher. So, well, how have you seen teachers? How have they evolved or changed in the years that you've been teaching?
I would say that what I am always so impressed with, this is why I was really excited to join the foundation and take on this role as director of educator programs, because teachers are some of the most resilient, flexible humans on the planet, where they are going to pivot and they are going to strategize in order to keep coming back and doing more and doing more. I'm in the midst of recruiting for the Teacher Ambassador Program, which I can certainly talk more about. And what you hear is just enthusiasm and excitement, even though you might be asking them to do even more. So I think even though teachers had to take on such a burden through COVID, the COVID years, and even now again, they're taking on a lot more of the emotional side of students with this increased anxiety, I think teachers are able to pivot and they care so much, this idea of service, this idea of commitment to helping students, you know, get through it, really helps that being able to pivot, transform has always been a part of teachers. And I think it's just been even more a part of what they are.
That's really, I would agree with that. And then yet at the same time, we are seeing some attrition in teachers. Yes. I think that's a reality. And it feels like a little bit like the barriers are becoming greater. So I don't know if there's mm-hmm. anything, again, just to pinpoint or something that you may identify as something that is a teacher is dealing with that is a significant challenge, that is something that maybe hasn't been brought forward yet, or?
Yeah, I think there's a variety of reasons that we could point to. I think in some cases, it's just practical reasons. I do think that teacher salaries just really have not met the inflation rate and the cost of housing. And I think some teachers are just saying, I can probably do what I'm doing online, or I can work from home and I can parlay the skills that I've mastered in my teaching career and become a curriculum writer, or I could go into the corporate world and parlay my project management skills essentially into that. So I think teachers will always keep at the center of their students. That's, I know, what I will always miss being out of the classroom. But I think for some teachers, the attrition can be attributed just simply to economic frustrations, just saying, I just can't make my life work at this pay rate anymore.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that's a really strong response, and one that certainly we're seeing in our own community.
Absolutely.
And even in the midst, keep in mind that we're a high performing district.
Yes.
And we've got a lot of things working to our favor, mm-hmm. and yet we're still seeing, maybe not to the degree globally that some other countries or states in mm-hmm. The United States are facing, but it is a reality. And I think you are spot on with the economic frustrations tied to that. So let's talk a little bit about the programs and things that you have going on and developing here at the Education Foundation.
Sure.
So how will your discoveries about teacher and teacher relationships come into play with the role with us?
The main program that I'm really focusing a lot of my energy on right now is the Teacher Ambassador Program. And I think because I spent so many years in the classroom and I understand that teachers truly not only want a voice, but they want to be taken seriously, they want to be respected, and they want to be given opportunities to be seen as professionals and behave as professionals. And I love the idea of running the teacher ambassador cohort meetings in a way that really gets their buy-in and it's their voice. So the plan is for those teachers to come together and share learnings, strategies, tips and tricks, you know, that might be working for them, and share with each other as well as sharing with us. So certainly they're acting as, you know, so-called brand ambassadors on behalf of the Education Foundation in their schools. But when they're together, they get this opportunity to share professionally with each other. So it's keeping their needs and their desires really at the center, as opposed to lecturing them or, you know, trying to, you know, teachers do get a lot of, here, read this article. This is what will, you know, solve all of the problems in education, instead of, hey, what do you think will solve? So it's soliciting questions from them. And then the other program that I'm working to put together is the teacher roundtable talks. And my goal is to see those be professional learning settings where teachers, again, the same similar idea, the concept that they can come together and have an opportunity to hear from experts. I'm talking to a lot of great people at the University of South Florida, lots of people in a variety of different areas of expertise, and hopefully they can bring that to share with teachers and, again, find relevance so that teachers can find relevance. So the goal is helping teachers find their voice, share their voice, helping them see themselves as leaders on their campuses, as well as really extending some true professional learning to them.
That's terrific. And I think the giving the teachers voice is also allowing them to co-create
yes.
the programs that you're building.
Exactly.
Because I think you're really looking for their input
Absolutely.
Too, so that they feel like they had a stake in it. And it's not just the typical, hey, look what we're doing for
right,
you,
right.
but this is more of what are we doing with you?
Exactly. It's not a show up and let me give you a bunch of, you know, printouts. It's definitely a, let's come together. I want to hear you. Let's collaborate. You get to collaborate with your peers, that type of environment.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about what you're envisioning for this, and I can't wait to see where it grows and goes. And so if teachers are out there listening, where would you direct them? What do they need to do to learn more and get involved?
Well, I would absolutely say they can send me an email. My email is listed on the website. And that would be their first thing, is just to reach out to me directly, and then I can share with them the timeline for some of these different programs. The Education Foundation website is also a fantastic location. We'll start populating that once the teacher roundtable talks start to get more finalized. We've got dates and times and topics. Then I can put those up on the website and people can start registering for those. So really probably the best bet is to go to the Education Foundation website and look for the Teacher Ambassador Program and the Teacher Roundtable Talks. And those are good ways. And of course, don't forget to go and stop and look at some of the grant opportunities as well.
Oh, that is, hey, I like that pitch. So, okay, that was great. And so for all of you listeners, of course, you can go to our website, which is edfoundationsrq.org. There is a dropdown with a title, subheader that just says teachers. And on that dropdown has all the things that Nicole is pitching and promoting today, which you did a great job actually speaking about. And I'll just throw in one last kind of shameless plug, and that is because we have to, because this is just our one opportunity. But as our teacher exhibit that we have at Sarasota Art Museum, that is a community exhibit. It's free of charge, no cost to go, but it is a display. I don't know what you want to give a little takeaway, how you would describe
super it. Super cool. It's very meaningful. It's something that I think teachers should go and see. It's artifacts that teachers have submitted that they've gotten from students. So thank you notes. There's an incredible sweater that was crocheted by someone's former student. Just things that you can really see how teachers really impact students' lives. It's so apparent. I think that's something when someone says, well, how do we measure impact, or what's the impact of a teacher? Looking at these displays, reading the thank you notes, looking at these other items that students give to their teachers, it is so inspiring. It's definitely going to make you think of your favorite teacher and probably want to write them a letter.
Yeah. And I would even say someone told me recently that you were their child's favorite teacher. So just wanted you to know that too. Yes.
It's very nice to hear.
It's good to know. All right. Well, we really appreciate Nicole, you being the podcast today. I look forward to seeing where all these programs grow. Teachers, I do hope you reach out to Nicole and get connected into this exciting work. And once again, just want to give a shout out to our sponsor today, Gulf Coast Community Foundation. Thank you so much for supporting our work, and to all the other donors that also get engaged. And I appreciate you listeners for listening in on today's episode of Education Conversations. So to listen to other episodes, just make sure you tune in, because we've got them firing off, you know, every other week here. So for now, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.